Well, good morning. It is so good to see you. I'm glad that you are here with us. Today, we are going to be wrapping up this series in Acts for the time being. We may come back to that next year. And so we are wrapping up in chapter 5 today. Some of the same themes that we've been talking about, and I want to remind you about, and I want to make sure that these are driven home for you so that you know what Acts is all about. It is about the Spirit empowering individuals, the believers, to spread the gospel. And that is our goal today as believers in Christ, is that the Spirit would empower us to spread the gospel. Acts 1:8 is the theme verse of Acts. It pushes the whole story from beginning to the end. And it says, with Jesus saying to the apostles, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And we see that beginning to happen in the book of Acts. We've been in Jerusalem so far up to this point. If we continued on and went through the rest of the book of Acts, you would see the apostles and the disciples sharing the gospel in areas of Judea and Samaria. And then if we kept reading and kept going through the book of Acts, you would be introduced to a guy named Saul who changes, or his name is Paul when he's in Gentile areas, and he is the guy who is the leading force for sharing the gospel to the known world at that time. And so I want you to know that you have the gospel are available to you, and you may be a believer. Maybe you're just kicking the tires trying to figure out what this whole Christianity thing is. And maybe you're just trying to figure out, is this the thing for you? Whatever it is, you have the gospel available to you because the Holy Spirit indwelt these believers, gave them boldness to share their faith, and that 2,000 years later, we are still proclaiming the same gospel, that Jesus came, according to Scripture, that he was born, that he lived a perfect life, that he died, was buried, and rose again, and that he ascended to the Father, and that one day he's coming back again, and that you have to do something with that. Either you follow him and give him your life and accept the forgiveness that he gives, or you reject him. The ball's in your court. And so today, as we wrap up in Acts, our text is going to teach us about obeying God. We've got to obey God. We've got a choice every day. Do we obey men? Do we obey ourselves? Or do we obey God? And most of the time, it's between ourselves and God. Do I do what God wants me to do? Or do I do what I want me to do? And I promise you, it's a struggle for us all. Whether you've been a Christian for 5 minutes or for 50 years, you will still struggle with, do I obey me or do I obey God? And so every day we've got to decide, I'm gonna crucify myself, I'm going to die to myself, I'm going to live by the Spirit, and I'm going to obey God. And so God demands obedience. And not only does he demand obedience, we need to see that in the book of Acts, there is an urgency to tell the gospel. There's an urgency to share about Jesus. These guys have made it their life goal to tell as many people as they can about who Jesus is. And really, that needs to be our goal too. This morning in Sunday school, we were one of the little side notes in the Sunday school book had this saying that, you know, your life gets boiled down to, and you go to a cemetery and you see people's lives are boiled down to two dates. There's your birthday and there's your death day. And in the middle of that, there's a dash. And the sum of our life is summed up, or the whole of our life is summed up in a dash. What are you going to do with your dash? Are you going to be like the apostles and the disciples and people who have come before us who have shared about who Jesus is, told people, that they thought deserved to know and people they thought didn't deserve to know? Or do you hide your Christianity? Do you hide that you know Jesus? Do you hide your faith? So our goal today is to share our faith with urgency. I want to read scripture. It's kind of a longer passage today. We're going to be in Acts chapter 5. I'll start in verse 21 and read through 42. And we'll grab some things that this passage teaches us. It says this: "And when the high priest and those who were with him arrived, they convened the Sanhedrin," that's the court, "the full senate of the sons of Israel, and sent orders to the jail to have them brought. But when the temple police got there, they did not find them in jail. So they returned and reported it. It says, "We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing in front of the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. And as the commander of the temple police and the chief police heard these things, they were baffled about them as to what could come of this. And someone came and reported to him, 'Look, the men that you put in jail are standing in the temple complex and teaching the people.' Then the commander went with the temple police and brought them in without force because they were afraid the people might stone them. And after they brought them in, they had them stand before the Sanhedrin, and the high priest asked, 'Didn't we strictly order you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to bring this man's blood on us.' But Peter and the apostles replied, 'We must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you have murdered and hanged him on a tree. God exalted this man to the right hand as ruler and savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.' And when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. And a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was respected by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered the men to be taken outside for a little while. And he said to them, 'Men of Israel, be careful about what you're going to do to these men. Not long ago, Phidias rose up claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his partisans were dispersed, and nothing came to it. After this, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and attracted a following. That man also perished, and all his partisans were scattered. And now, I tell you, stay away from these men and leave them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even be found fighting against God.' So they were persuaded by him. And after they called in the apostles and they had them flogged, they had them whipped, they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and released them. Then they went out from the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to be dishonored on behalf of the name of Jesus. Verse 42 says this: "And every day in the temple complex and in various homes, they continued teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah." I want us to understand here what we're hearing. The first thing we need to see is that we have got to obey God. God's obedience to God is of uttermost importance. It is the thing we have to strive for day after day. And as I mentioned earlier, it is a struggle. It is hard. I was reading this week and I came across a quote that says, that millions of Christians have grown older, but few of them have grown up. And meaning maturity. Maturity is a difficult thing in the Christian life. Do we follow God? Do we rely on God? Do we grow up maturing God? Or do we just grow old? And obeying to God is growing more mature in Christ. The apostles have been arrested. And right before these verses, what happens is they've been arrested. They've been thrown into jail, and an angel comes, and they set him free. And the angel says, hey, what you need to do is go back to the temple complex, and you need to be teaching the people. So the apostles get up, they walk out, they go to the temple complex, and they obey what God told them to do through the angel. And so the Sanhedrin gets together, the court, these 70 smart guys, these 70 religious leaders, these 70 people who are striving to teach the people about God and striving to make sure that God is not misunderstood, even though they misunderstand him. They're together and they call and say, hey, go get the prisoners. And they go, but the jail is empty. The guards are there like somebody's in jail. The door's locked like someone's in jail. And they look in and there's nobody there. And so they report this. And the high priest and the Sanhedrin are all freaking out. Temple guards are probably wondering if they're going to die. How did this happen? And then while they're in the midst of this, somebody comes and reports, hey, you remember those guys you arrested? They're back at the temple teaching. So they go and they have them arrested again. It's interesting, it says, but not by force. Because they figured if we do this by force, they're going to have our heads. Because what these people are teaching is really resonating and really stirring the people up. It's changing people's lives. And so they are worried that it will cost them theirs. So they get up. They bring them in, and they begin to chew them out again. And the response of the apostles is the same as it was a few chapters earlier. I love this response. And the response is this: should I obey you, or should I obey God? Should I obey you, or should I obey God? And we have to answer that same question today. When society comes to us and says, hey, what you think about Christianity, what you think about God, that is old stuff. You need to catch up with the times. You need to catch up with society. Society's changing. People are changing. And so should you. Are you going to obey God? Or are you going to do what society tells you to do? Are you going to do what God tells you to do through his word speaking to us? Or are you going to do what society tells you to do? I want you to know God doesn't change his mind. When God lays out foundations for us, whether they are things like, hey, you can only love the woman you married, guys. Don't go fooling around with your neighbor's wife. Hey, love the stuff you've got. Quit coveting other people's stuff. When he says, don't lie, don't steal, those are foundational to character. And God laid those down. God laid down those ground rules not so he would make us miserable, but because it makes us live better lives. It makes us walk with him. It makes us obedient to him. First rule of all, don't worship anything but me. Yet we fill our lives with so many things that take the place of God. And we break the first commandment, sadly, probably daily. And God says, obey me. When you obey me, you're walking in my will, and that's the best place for you. May not be the safest place for you. We also talked about in Sunday school that we should expect suffering when we're following Jesus. You should expect it. It's just par for the course. It's who we are as believers. We will suffer because you follow Jesus and the world doesn't like it. The world says, hey, you've got to evolve. You've got to change. All of these things are acceptable. Anybody can be accepted. Anybody can walk the way, anybody could be a Christian and live the way they want. The problem is that doesn't match with Scripture. And we've got to walk with God and we've got to obey God. So the question arises, will you obey God or will you obey man? And you've got to ask yourself that every day. God expects obedience. He does. He expects you to live in a way that is fitting for the label Christian. He expects holiness. It's not just a suggestion. It's not just a hope. He expects that. So we've got to live in a way that honors God. So in an effort to kind of help his brothers out, one of the Pharisees, one of the leading guys, he's gonna help them get past this incident. And Gamaliel is going to speak out. And he's going to say, hey, is Christianity going to survive? And so the second thing that we see in this text is that through the prophetic mouth of Gamaliel, we see that Christianity lives on. Now, we're on the backside of the story. We're 2,000 years later, and so we get to see the results of what Gamaliel says. Now, Gamaliel, we don't know terribly a whole lot about it. We do know he is extremely respected. We do believe that this is the same Gamaliel who trains Paul. So Paul's teacher is Gamaliel. He is a wise, wise rabbi, well-respected, knows a lot. We have no indication that he's a Christian. You kind of hope, though, that Paul was able to come back to him on one of his journeys or one of his times through Jerusalem and say, hey, Gamaliel, I found the Messiah. You've heard about him. You fought against him. It's Jesus. But we don't know. We can only hope. And so Gamaliel stands up and he says, look, we've seen this kind of stuff before. And he cites two examples. He's like, hey, there was this guy, Judas of Galilee. He got a bunch of guys around him. They were going to be revolutionaries. They proclaimed to be the anointed one. And they stood up and he gets killed. And all of his followers just kind of fade into the distance. There's also Thaddeus who rallies up 400 guys. And man, when he dies, nothing comes to them. So Gamaliel was like, guys, just pump the brakes here. Hold up. If this is of God, or this is not of God, it's going to happen the way the other things happen. It's going to happen the way the other uprisings happen. It's going to happen the way what happened with Judas and what happened with Thaddeus. These uprisings, these followings, they're going to get tired of it. The people are going to get bored with it, and they're just going to fade into the distance, and nothing is going to come of it. If these apostles, if these followers of Jesus are just like these guys, in 2 months, we won't hear anything else about this Christ. Just pump the brakes. Let's watch. It says, however, if this is of God, do you really want to be on the wrong side of fighting against God? Do you really want to be the ones fighting against God? Do you really want to be the ones who are the enemy of God? And the rest of the 70 said, Gamaliel, you got a good point. We've seen the others just fade away. Let's try that on this one. If this Christ, if this Jesus is the Messiah, if he is the anointed one, we don't want to be fighting against God. So they call him back in. They said, all right, we're not going to kill you, even though we want to. They chew him out. They say, no more preaching in Jesus' name. And by the way, on your way out, we're going to get a whip and we're going to give it to you. And so each of them are whipped. We don't know if it's all the apostles. We don't know how many. It just talks about the apostles. But each of them take their turn being whipped with a leather strap. Each of them take their turn suffering because they preached Jesus. How many of us would sign up for that? How many of us would say, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I follow after God. Yes, he is the Messiah. Stop preaching in his name or you're going to get whipped. Okay, I'm going to quiet down. I'm going to be in my corner over here. Sadly, that's what most of us do. When your friend says, oh, I don't believe in that, we say, okay, I'll quiet down. I'll stay in my corner over here. When a family member says, well, you're going to the wrong church, well, we quiet down and we go and we hide in our little corner. When society says, shut up, you Christians, you're offending us, we close our mouth and we go hide in our little corner. Instead of what these guys do, they say, okay, I'll be first. And they take the whipping. And we see that there's nothing that these guys can do to stop the spread of Jesus Christ. There's no amount of persecution. There's no amount of economic hardship that they're going to give them. There's no amount of anything. They try to annihilate Christianity. They killed the leader, but he rose again. There's nothing they could do to get rid of Jesus. And 2,000 years later, we are evidence of that. You are evidence of that. Doesn't Scripture come alive when you realize that you are part of the end result of a prophecy that somebody spoke 2,000 years ago? You're proof that Christianity is not just some foolish social uprising, but it is foundational to who we are as people, that Jesus, the God who always was and always will be, entered our history because we are broken, we are fallen, we are sinful. And he entered our history and he did what Adam did not do. He lived the perfect life. He did what we do not do. He lived the perfect life. No sin. Notice nobody ever says Jesus is a sinner. And yet they execute him, they bury him, and he raises again. And Christianity is born on Pentecost, and it's still alive today. You are the fruit of that if you follow him. You are the fruit of that if you've given your life to Christ. If you've not, you could do it today. And there's no amount of persecution, there's no amount of hardship, there's no amount of anything that will get rid of Christianity. As a matter of fact, second century or third century Christian named Tertullian made the statement, maybe you've heard it, that the blood of the church is the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Means when you kill people who are Christians, Christianity just spreads. And if we continued on in the book of Acts, we would see that because of persecution, the gospel gets pushed further and further and further out. Because they're chasing Christians, but all along the while, they are telling people about Jesus. Which brings us to the last point, is that we must have the same urgency that Christ, that the apostles had on that day. We need to have that today. They left there excited, rejoicing that they could be whipped because of Jesus. And where do they go? They go back to where they were. They go back to the temple complex. They go back to where everybody is, and they preach and teach about Jesus. They had to get the name out. They had to tell people about Jesus. They had to tell people about this guy who totally changed their life. They had to. Do we have that urgency? Every day they're in the temple complex. Every day they're in people's homes. Every day they're teaching the truth about Christ. Are you sharing your faith every day? Are you verbally talking about what Jesus is doing in your life? We've got to have this urgency. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. We don't know when people might end up in a car accident. You don't know when someone might have a massive heart attack or stroke and die. You only have a certain amount of time. And we don't know how much time that is. We have to have urgency in sharing the gospel with people. Jesus is our only hope. He is the anointed one. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the promise of God, and he is God himself. That's good news. He offers forgiveness. The question is, will you follow? And as we wrap up this series in Acts, I want to end by asking you a couple of questions. One, are you obeying God? The apostles said, hey, do we obey you or do we obey God? In the previous verse, it's better for us to obey God than it is to obey man. And I would add, it is better for us to obey God than it is to obey yourself, your desires, your wants. Better to obey God. Second question, are you passing your faith on to others? To your family, to your friends, to people you meet? Are you sharing about who Jesus is? Do you have the urgency of the gospel? Remember Acts 1:8. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will have boldness, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, in Judea, and to the end of the earth. Even though we're leaving Acts next week, never forget the urgency, the need to share your faith, and the fact that the Holy Spirit lives in you and gives you the power to boldly proclaim who he is. You got to rely on him, though. You can't walk in your own strength. You can't walk in your own abilities. You've got to rely on the Holy Spirit. So this morning as they play, I want to invite you, if you're not a follower of Christ, if when I'm describing what it means to be a Christian, someone who follows, someone who obeys, someone who gives their all, if that's not you and you want to talk about that, I would love to talk with you now, or you can grab me afterwards. Let's have a conversation about that today. Some of you may need to respond to God through prayer. The altar is open, and you can come to the front. You can pray where you are. You can stand. You can kneel. You can, whatever posture you need to be in, ask God to give you that boldness, to fill you with his Spirit, to be obedient and to be urgent to the gospel. Next week, we're going to have bunches of kids here. Pray that the truth of the gospel will pierce their hearts, their home lives, and that some of them will come to know Christ. If Christ is calling you, you come.